Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, broadcasting today from our studios in Wausau. It's a great chance for me to visit the Wausau area, and I had a great time talking at the Good Ideas Conference this morning with the UW-Marathon County College of the Emeriti. We had about, 250 people or so. It was a lot of fun. And when I arrived yesterday, I had a chance to I got here early yesterday. And so first thing I did when I arrived in Wausau was head over to the Woodson Art Museum to see Jane Weinke. Jane is curator of collections and registrar at the Woodson Art Museum. It's located at 700 North 12th Street in Wausau. And they have some wonderful collections. And one of the current collection involves Don Richard Eckleberry's Birds of Trinidad and Tobago. It's a naturalist Eden, I think they call it. And so we're certainly going to talk about that collection and some of the other collections that are at the Woodson Art Museum, but also take your questions and comments. And I also love to hear if you have visited the museum, what you like about it, what you don't, maybe what you don't like about it. No, Jane's saying, no, don't say that. I hope you'll join in with either questions as we move along here talking about the museum itself or about the collections that are in the museum. To join us, you just call 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us as well at talk@wpr.org. It's talk@wpr.org. Jane Weinke, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Larry.
I am always impressed every time I visit the Woodson Art Museum. It's just an absolutely beautiful place. Tell us, for those who haven't been here, talk about that museum and the grounds, which are fantastic.
Well, we're very fortunate to have a perch above the city of Wausau on the east side of town, and we have two beautiful acres that include the facility itself plus a wonderful sculpture garden. And we have 17 sculptures, large-scale sculptures, gracing the grounds, and the building itself was, the historic part was built in around 1932, and then in the mid to late 70s, it was given over to be a museum. And since that time, there have been a few renovations, but we are whole as we are right now, and we have just a great space and a wonderful staff that make the building and the grounds just a showplace.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. So it was a home beforehand?
Yes, it was.
Quite a home.
Mm-hmm. Well, only small parts of it. You know, the gallery spaces that we were in later yesterday were added on in the 70s and 80s. But the historic part where the Eckleberry exhibition was in, that was the home.
Yeah, and it's for those who come, it's free?
Free, always free. And we're only closed on Mondays. We're open the rest of the week. Our hours are on our website, or you can call.
I'm amazed at the fact that you can still be free. So you must have some great supporters here in Wausau.
Wausau's a great city for supporting the arts, so we're very happy about that.
Well, one of the current collections involves, it's titled The Naturalist's Eden, Don Richard Eckleberry's Birds of Trinidad and Tobago. And that exhibit is on display through February 27th, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And having spent a lot of time myself in Trinidad, I lived there for a year and have been, and that was back, way back, let's see, about 1987. But since then, I've been back many times for research and other purposes, sometimes just socially. So it was an exhibit that I was really interested in seeing, and I was dumbfounded. It's just a wonderful, wonderful exhibit. But let's go back to the beginning here. Who was Don Eckleberry, and how did this all come about?
Mm. Story that I now can speak fully on because I've been working on this for a number of years. But Don Richard Eckleberry was born in Sebring, Ohio, and as a child had some health issues. And so instead of partaking in sports, he became a bird watcher. And at a very young age, he started birding clubs and took up with art supplies, and I have artworks from when he was 13, 14. I have some artworks that was done when he was 5 that are just amazing. And he just decided to make his life work art. He had an avocation and a love of birds, and so this is what he wanted to do.
Oh, it's a fascinating story. We'll get talk some more about it, but I want to take some calls, too. And again, remind you can join in at 1-800-642-1234, or you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And we have a caller online. Shireen from Springbrook is online. Shireen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you. I live between Spooner and Hayward, and we make the pilgrimage to the art museum every year. And the one thing that we're most impressed with on your outdoor sculpture was when you had your twig village. Mm. We were thoroughly disappointed when we came back and it wasn't there another year. It was marvelous.
Well, Patrick Doherty did it was a beautiful installation in the gardens, but they're meant to just be temporary, unfortunately. So that was the nature of the artist's intent, to have them there for a while and then they go away.
What was the twig village? It was a village made out of twigs.
Oh, it was a huge collaboration. It involved even my husband and a lot of volunteers, and he came up with a design, and then we had to mine the areas for sapling twigs that then he and a group of volunteers wove together to make this really intricate haven, I guess, is what, you know, almost like a nest, only not an open nest, an enclosed nest. It was very cool.
Wow. Oh. But you still come back, Shireen.
We always look for the whimsical. They have such gorgeous artists, and they always have some whimsical things. I remember one that was as big as a wall, and it was a trailer court, and the only birds in it were on the ladies' mm-hmm. bikinis that were hanging on the line. And I'll never forget
Mark
that
Mark Eberhard.
That was wonderful, too.
Well, you need to come and visit right now, because we have, we have an exhibition of delectable treats, and it is indeed very whimsical. I'll just tease you a little bit, but check out our website.
Well, now you're going to have to do more than tease. You're going to have to tell us a little bit more about this. It's candy.
Yes, it's all about candy. And for some reason right now, because I'm slightly nervous, I'm forgetting the name of the exhibition. I want candy. It's like, oh my. And it's a wonderful installation of sculptures and paintings and works on paper, and there's even a video component showing candy, some things you'll remember from your childhood, everything from ice cream bars to, donuts and the like, and it's all done by fairly well-known American artists, and that's on the main floor. And then to go with that, we worked with a photographer in New York who photographs food. And he did a number of candy and dessert things that he is lent to us to use for this exhibition. So that's very fun as well. And then the third collaboration is there was an artist in residency program with a young woman, and she worked with the schools, and they did this beautiful mosaic mural, tile mural, with a candy theme. And that was a week-long residency, and that's hanging on the wall as well. So it's all about things that we probably want to give up now that the new year is here.
Thank you, Shireen. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or comment for our guest today. Talking with Jane Weinke, Curator of Collections and Registrar at the Woods and Art Museum in Wausau. Beautiful place with some great, wonderful exhibits. I'm glad to have her with us today. Glad to be here, actually, to talk. We have a caller, John in Eau Claire, up next. So let's go to John. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
You bet. Several years ago, we were at the museum, and there was an exhibition by William Morris, a glassblower, and it was absolutely stunning. It just took our breath away. We were thrilled with it. It was a wonderful, wonderful exhibit.
Did you take part in the hot glass workshop that was going on in the grounds, or did you not visit during that time?
It was just a display of his work, and it must have been about 5-6 years ago now, mm-hmm. and it was just absolutely wonderful.
It was. That remains one of my favorite exhibitions because it was so immense and so intricate and so stunning. He does some really unique objects.
Now, how do you come, John here is talking about this William Morris exhibit. How do you plan and how do you come put exhibits together like this? And how do you come up with the ideas?
Oh, boy. There are some of the exhibitions come through ideas that we come together as a group, as a staff, and kind of brainstorm ideas. But most of the exhibitions, like I Want Candy, are rental exhibitions. And there's a number of services across the country that you can rent these or borrow these exhibitions from. And there's other museums that share. We at the Woodson Art Museum have a number of exhibitions that are able to be lent to other museums. So that part is the easy part, finding those, because there's a lot of them available. But then we like with I Want Candy and that special touch of having the food photographer involved. Those are the special things that we come together to find ways to tie local people or, somewhat local or just a little bit different event that might attract another segment of the population to the museum.
Oh, well, we have more callers online. I wanted to actually talk about what a curator does. And I saw a little story about somebody visiting a museum, and the person was talking with them about the museum and how wonderful it was and how great it was. And then he said, and by the way, on your way out, you'll see an older woman in rags who will be out there asking for money. That person happens to be our curator.
Oh, such a reputation we have.
It's not as bad as that.
No. We're very, times are difficult for everyone. So any support we can get is greatly appreciated.
But that's part of your role as curator?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a curator, it's the person who sort of leads the museum.
Yeah. My role, and there's different curators. In museum curators are different in their focus. So I'm the curator of collections, and so my goal is to care for the artworks that stay at the museum. And what our goal as a museum has been is to gather and to collect the foremost bird art in the world. I think we're there. I think we've done a fabulous job. And if you check out my blog this week, you'll see examples of just what we've accomplished over the last year. So that's very good. So different curators do different things, and my job is working with donors and with patrons and helping them with issues and hoping to tell them of the merits of our museum so that they will consider us as a home for their collections or, help us with our collections.
Yeah, that's great. And why did what was the reasoning or how did you happen to sort of emphasize birds way back when?
When the museum started, the John and Alice Forster were looking. The museum was ready to go in, and museum planning is usually 3 years out. We have our exhibitions booked in 2014, some of them. So, there's a long planning. But when the Woodson Art Museum was opening, Mr. and Mrs. Forster called on an old friend, Owen Grammy, who was a taxidermist at the Milwaukee Public Museum and familiar to many of us in the state. And they asked for his help. And he said, well, I'll make a phone call to a few of my bird artist friends, and we'll get an exhibition for you. And they set a goal of what they thought would be popular for that exhibition, and it far exceeded it. And that's where it went.
Oh, that's
kind of history started that day.
That's a wonderful story. Tom and Kenosha, we'll get to you in just a minute. I want to remind you, our guest today, Jane Weinke, curator of collections and registrar at the Woodson Art Museum in Wausau. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz and Rachel Owens are producers today, helping us out, as is Rick Ryer in our Wausau offices, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Ideas Network, Larry Mueller here, visiting about birds and art today a little bit with Jane Weinke, curator at the Woodson Art Museum, as we talk with her about what's going on at the museum, some of the exhibits there, and about the museum itself. It's been a lot of fun visiting with her for me, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions or maybe comments or maybe experiences that you've had to share at the Woodson Art Museum. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call if you'd like to join in. And let's turn to Tom in Kenosha next, who's been waiting. Tom, hi. Thank you for calling.
Gene, the voice from your past.
I just told Larry, I said, I know who that man is. He's responsible for me being here today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just wanted to say what a great job you've done there. It's phenomenal.
You taught me the ropes.
Well, good talking to you, and I'll just
yes.
keep
You're
listening. You're going to
make me cry. Yeah, now stop
I was
it.
There from 76 to 1980. And just some great experiences there, too. I mean, getting to meet Owen Grammy, Roger Torrey Peterson, you know, all these great wildlife artists. It was really something. So good job, Jane, and I'll hang up and
Listen along, Tom. Listen along. Thank you very much for calling. So Tom was an influence in your life.
Yes, he was. I was just this very eager person when I got hired, and he was – we were – at that time, there were not – rental exhibitions to the level they are now. He was putting together many of the exhibitions himself, and he's just an extremely talented man, and he took me along for the ride and taught me how to do just about everything. And in those early years, we needed to do everything, so I owe a lot of what I am to him.
And we have you've been there a long time.
31 years, almost 32. I'm only 18.
Jim in Greenwood, we will turn to you next. Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm really pleased to call in and say thanks for everything. My wife and I, we really enjoy coming over to the museum for a variety of reasons. And the birds and art is certainly part of that. And the permanent exhibits in the sculpture garden and even going through the children's part of it is really neat and some of the we just like to take it all in. But I guess one of the things that we really have enjoyed is in the summertime there's been the South Beach Chamber Ensemble has provided a free concert there, and we have really enjoyed that, and we're there when they did a recording, which which we have, and hopefully that can continue into mm-hmm. the future. But it is really multifaceted and something different every time, and like I say, there's a lot of old familiar things that we enjoy seeing again and again. But also I'd like to say that the people who staff the desks and stuff like that are really friendly and dedicated people, and I think that they need some credit as well, because it is a wonderful place, and we really enjoy being there several times a year.
Great, thank you, and please keep coming.
and the people, many of the people are volunteers, are they not?
Yes. When you first walk into the entrance of the museum, we have a wonderful group of volunteers called the Greeters, and they help explain what's going on at the museum, offer the audio guide to our visitors, and then just offer a brief synopsis of what you can see as you're going through the museum and answer any questions, you know, show where the amenities are and the like. So we could not run without a huge group of volunteers, with the docents who do the tours. And our staff was very, very talented, but very small. So we need to all work together, and we do.
Thanks again, Jim, for calling. Let's turn to Evan in River Falls next. Evan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you all doing this morning?
Great.
Good.
What's on your mind?
Well, Gene, I just want to say thank you so much for the Woodson and what you do for the area. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Marathon City, and I lived in Wausau for a good decade, and now I live out by River Falls, not far from Minneapolis. And I'll tell you, I miss the accessibility of the art museums in Wausau, even though I'm only a half hour away from Minneapolis, St. Paul, and all those museums. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. And the second is, back when I was in high school, I had the opportunity to be part of the student art exhibit you used to have. I think you had it for a decade or so, which had students from the central Wisconsin area, middle school and high school. And I would say that was probably my favorite exhibit you used to have every year, since you had such a variety of styles and techniques and just that youthful voice and enthusiasm of the students in the art. And I'm kind of curious what's happened with that exhibit and why we don't see it at that level anymore.
Yeah, Evan, have you seen the exhibit that's there now with the that involved the, was it middle school children that you the.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, the student art show is still alive and well. It's going to be in its 34th year, I believe, this March. We always do the student art exhibition during Youth Art Month, which is March. I think the exhibition starts the 6th and goes through the end of the month. And more information is on our website. I see in my calendar here, I don't have the exact dates, but we continue to do it. We continue to hear to people. We hear from people like you that were part of that exhibition, and we work with the teachers, and we consider that a very important part of what we do. And I am, in fact, the student art show coordinator, and have been since I started working at the museum.
Oh, that's great. Well, this exhibit that you now have on the wall, go back and explain what that looks like. I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, they did a set of five panels, I believe, and I was not involved with this very intimately, but they hired an educator to come in, and throughout the week school tours came in, and part of the ending of their tour was to go downstairs and set these tiles into these panels that then became mosaics, and they all have a candy theme to them. And each panel...
The tiles are like an inch square.
Yeah, half-inch square, maybe.
Half-inch, yeah.
Yeah, they're just ceramic tiles then that the coordinator designed and had this huge design on the wall so that the students knew what they were working towards. And then toward the latter part of the week, to finish the installation, they had to come in and do the grouting of it. So they got to see the entire process of what it is to do a mural that's in a mosaic style.
And this mural is, 15 feet?
Oh, easily.
Yeah, yeah, it's at least, I would think, 15 feet.
Yeah, with the five panels?
More like 20.
I bet it's 20. I think those panels are 4x4.
Yeah, I bet they're 4-foot panels. Yeah. It is really striking.
Well, we continue to get the students involved in so many different ways, but the student art show does live.
All right. Thanks, Evan, for calling. Appreciate it. And Joe in Chippewa Falls, we turn to you next. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. I just enjoy your shows here.
Thank you.
I'd like to just comment. This like a year or so ago, the grounds at this Woodson place is so unbelievable. There was a Renaissance Day, and I performed that, and the grounds are just unbelievably just a perfect place to have, you know, such a event there. And of course, we all made our way to the museum because their exhibits were excellent, and especially in the aviary part. I guess what makes the museum more homey is there was a house before, and the pictures were unbelievable, and just be able to take time and to go through that, and the smaller rooms is just more, you know, easier just to relax and watch, you know, see what was going on there.
Great. We love to hear comments like that. Please continue to come and visit us. We're changing all the time, so you can see something different and hopefully enjoyable with each visit.
And Joe, how did you perform? What did you perform?
We were with the Renaissance, with the fair in Chippewa Falls, and we did armored combat for the day, and we had our queen that
was armory
with,
show
with the people, and it was just all kinds of performers in the couple acres there, and the sculptured landscape was just perfect for it.
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you as we visit with Jane Weinke about the Woodson Art Museum. And it was actually, I think the official name is still Lee Yawkey Woodson Art Museum. Who are the Yawkeys?
Well, the Yawkeys and the Woodson were both founding families in the Wausau area. They were involved in lumber and definitely encouraging the city to grow. So their names seem to be on many different things because of that great history and that great dedication to building this area.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Let's go back to, before we take some more calls here, let's go back to Don Richard Eckleberry's Birds of Trinidad and Tobago. Talk a little bit more about this guy. He spent a lot of time in Trinidad, and I was really impressed with the various rooms that you have for the displays. You have a lot of his work. I mean, essentially you have his life work.
We do.
Not all exhibited right now, but some of it.
but you definitely get a feel of who he was as an artist as you go through the galleries. We were very fortunate. Don Richard Eckleberry was named Master Wildlife Artist. He was a bird artist and did, you know, bird paintings for the majority of his life, but he was named Master Wildlife Artist in 1979 and traveled to the museum at that time. But even before that, he was a mentor to many and was very active in the field. And most people that are birders recognize him, his name, because he illustrated all the Audubon field guides, the land birds and the water birds and the like back in the 40s. And to this day, people, you know, refer to those guides and they're very popular. But and in all, he illustrated more than 17 books. Yeah. So he has done just an immense amount of illustrations. And many of his artworks remained in the studio when he passed, and his widow very graciously bequeathed all these things to us. So we have everything there is to know about Don Richard Eckleberry. We have his books that he wrote. We have the books that were dedicated to him. We have his letters and his papers and his writings and his poetry along with his artwork, which is just an amazing gift and something that we're going to be able to use for many different things. The birds of Trinidad and Tobago were just a part of that collection that I thought were so stunning and that would make a really great exhibition for our visitors during Birds and Art. So that's when it opened originally.
Yeah. And so take us through that exhibit and what do we find at the exhibit? Eckleberry's.
Mm-hmm. Well, the exhibition has many birds that Don did that he painted when he studied them in Trinidad. He was a firm believer that you can't paint something realistically unless you experience it. So he spent many, many hours, years studying and painting in Trinidad, and these are the product of that work. Originally, they felt that the best way to get people to enjoy Trinidad and the Osorite Nature Center and that whole area was to have a bird guide. That when they first started going there, there really wasn't a proper bird guide. Before Don and Richard Poe and John O'Neill got their guide out, someone else did get a book out, the Herklotz book, but it's slightly in an old tone in that you can see that the artist was holding the bird when he painted it, and so you don't have the bottom half. So you're missing some of the markings. So Richard and Don and John put together a proper field guide. And when the project started, Don really was gung-ho about it, but the thought of doing another major illustration like that was just more than he wanted to handle. And so that's how he got John O'Neill involved from the University in Louisiana. And John did the proper field guide plates, and Don did the portraits that were in the book. And I think it's the fifth revision that is just coming out now. Richard French. Richard French just passed. And so the final edition of this book will be coming out soon.
And as we look, and this was back in the 60s primarily.
Yes, late 60s.
50s.
Late 60s, early 70s. The book came out in the 70s, the first guide.
So from my own experiences in Trinidad, I know back that I wasn't there then, but I was there in the 80s, for example, the first time I visited there. And the roads weren't even real great in the 80s. They're better now, but it had to have been quite a trek.
Well, Mrs. Eckleberry, who I got to know very well, related the story of how they went there the first time. Don was spending a lot of time in the field doing research for different organizations. He was on his way to Argentina the very first time they went there on an expedition with the National History Museum in New York. Mm-hmm. And she said, I want a vacation before you go. And he goes, well, fine, you just pick a place as long as it's on the way to Argentina. So the story goes that she fell in love with the name of Trinidad. And so that's how they happened to go there. He called a couple of friends who had been there and said, can you offer some advice on where to stay, what to do? And so it just started from there. They got to town. They ordered a cab. The cab said, oh, I know where we're going. I know where they're going. They got lost on the way. Long story short, they got to the path that led to Spring Hill Estates, which is what it was called at that time. And the driver refused to take them up to the house. Don said, absolutely not. You're not making my wife walk. They made it to the place. And there's stories about how a goat walked right out the screen door to meet them. I mean, if you come to the museum, we have a video. that's playing right now. And there's actually an audio element as well of Don relating these wonderful stories of what it was like to be there in the early days and why he felt it was so important to preserve it for all of us to go and visit even to today.
Well, and so in addition to, I don't know how many paintings of his you have up. But
right now there's 49 paintings and 14 drawings on display. Yeah.
And the other thing that I think is really interesting, that in the area where you have this video, but off to the side is another little room that has his, it's sort of set up like his work area.
Mm-hmm. Because of our many visits to his widow, I was able to sit at his, you know, sit in his studio and see where he worked. And part of the bequest was all the furniture from that area. So when I was looking at this exhibition, so many people aren't curious as to how an artist works. You walk into a space, you see a painting, but you don't, the inquisitiveness of what else is beyond that is there. And some of my more famous, you know, one of my more likable exhibitions show a little more insight. And so we recreated his studio, his easel that he worked at, his chair, his books, his art supplies, they are all included in the recreation.
And that that old easel.
Isn't that funny? It weighs a ton. It's wrought, it's wrought iron and oak. It's just amazingly heavy.
Well, to me, that was worth, just seeing that area was worth worth the trip over. It's really cool.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was definitely just a heartwarming exhibition to work on.
Well, you can join in, too, if you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share relating to the Woodson Art Museum. I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. So we've got the Eckleberry exhibit that's up until February 27th. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the I Want Candy, the Sweet Stuff in American Art. And that's only on display for a few more days, really, isn't it?
Weeks,
couple more weeks. It's done January
23rd.
So that's another one. And I enjoyed the playfulness of that. That was really, and there were jelly bellies. There were, you know, there were things that
I
ate those.
Yeah. Evoking memories, you know, that's kind of fun when you're going with the you know, at the holidays, so many families come to town, and it's a kind of a generational thing. Everybody could point out something that might relate to something, you know, when they were a child. So I enjoyed that part of it.
Oh, and so that's when that's done. And there, we should talk about some of the other things that are coming up also at Woodson.
Well, we have just an amazing exhibition that will be starting. When does it start? January 29th. I just want to get that correct. Herman Miller. It's called Good Designs. And Herman Miller might, well, if you listen to NPR or WPR, the Aeron chair gets a lot of play. That's a Herman Miller design. And this exhibition comes to us from the Muskegon Museum of Art and the Henry Ford Museum. And they've put together this fabulous exhibition that shows all the different ways Herman Miller was incorporated into the home and into the office and the like. And so it's this great, I saw it installed somewhere else, so I can see it in my mind, furniture and tables and chairs and the Selectric typewriter. Remember that, Larry?
Before
computers, yes. Well, that's all included as part of this Herman Miller design. And then one of our curators of education worked together with the design students at the UW-Madison. And so they have done some of their own interpretations. It's called Herman Miller Time is the name of it. It's Herman Miller Time. Perfect, right? And they have done some reinterpretations of what they think are how a modern day, or their interpretations of Herman Miller, I guess.
Okay.
I don't want to give too much away because you really have to see them, because you look at them, you go, oh, wow, it's that is so cool. And I've been able to see some of the works in progress through the generosity of this curator. So that part's really cool. And then toward the end of the exhibition, during spring break, one of the artists that's a grad student down there is going to come and do a residency. So you can work with him and talk with him. And it's going to be just all-inclusive and really, really fun. And then the other element of this is Google Doodles. All those great Google doodles that we look at every day, and then the special ones that are artist related and whatever. We're using some of them in the printed form, and then we're going to be have a video showing 350 of them, I believe. You'll be able to look at, and then maybe make some of your own doodles.
And it's pretty cool in cooperation with Google.
Mm-hmm. Marissa Mayer is a Wausau native and one of the Google principals, and so we've worked with her parents and she's been at the museum many times, and so this is going to be just great fun.
It sounds like it's going to be great fun. Rosella in Fort Atkinson is online. I want to get her on board too. Rosella, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, thanks for calling.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I lived in Merrill at the time when the museum first opened, and I was at their first opening show, back in the 70s. And anyway, I was thoroughly impressed. At that point, they had a lot of wood carvings of birds, and I'm a bird fanatic. And anyway, I really enjoyed it, and at that time there was always an art show on the Marathon campus, like in September, and the Woodson had one two open. So of course I always included the two of them, at the time. And I did, I moved from there in 82, but I mean, I did go there every time had a new show on. And
Come back, Rosella.
I was back at a convention, I think it was the early 2000s. And anyway, by that time, of course, you had made a lot of, wonderful additions and changes. And so I really enjoyed it then too. And I think when you mentioned Owen Grammy, I think that at that time is when I became aware of Owen Grammy.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for calling. And she mentioned carving exhibit. You still have some carved birds.
Not as many artists work in wood anymore because it's time consuming. And as with everyone, I just heard another message today, artists are struggling to sell. So, multiples sell better. Yeah. So they've been carving bronzes so that they can survive.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Joyce and Rothschild, we'll give you a chance here. Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Yes, hello. What's on your mind?
Well, it is about the carved wooden birds that we were so enthralled with about 25 years ago or so, that we came and saw that and have been looking for them ever since, and that's never happened again. And we were just in awe of that whole scene.
There's still carved birds included in every Birds in Art. There's just fewer artists that are working in that area or in that style, I guess. Larry Barth, who was a master, he always has carved pieces. And there's still a number of local, or not necessarily even local, there's still a number of artists. It's more about the ability to get them to Wausau, Wisconsin is an issue, because you can't ship something like that. They're just way too delicate. And so that's kind of the prohibitive nature there.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jane, I tell you, you have a website.
Yes, we do.
And give us that website, because I think people, if they're not familiar, it's well worth it to go to the website and take a look at what's there.
It's our initials, lywam.org.
lywam.org. So Lee
Yawkey Woodson Art Museum.
lywam.
You can just put Woodson Art Museum in the search engine and you'll get there.
Well, Jane,
it
has been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us. And please, everyone, come and visit.
All right. She's and you should. Believe me, you should come and visit, because it is a wonderful, wonderful place. Coming up, another Wausau person, Jake Stakovec, is a 35-year-old native of Wausau, and he and a kayaking instructor. So we're going to zero in on kayaking and talk about his 5,000-mile kayak trip. A little trip, 5,000 miles by kayak next year on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.